Yes. Each week, we're thrilled to welcome an independent bookseller to the studio to offer reading suggestion. It's our book pick segment, and it's happening now. I'm David Gustina, of course, filling in for Joe Donahue today on the Roundtable. And joining us is the folks from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. We're speaking, of course, of Connie Brooks and Kate Reed. Hey, guys.
Hi, how are you?
And you've got lists. I love it when you have lists. Now, we were talking about this because, Connie, you handle sort of the adult books.
Right.
And, Kate, you're going to talk to us about some children's books.
That's it.
And I, unfortunately, Connie, said I might be more in the Kate.
It's all right.
My wife will confirm my education level and what I might prefer
to
read.
Judge.
Okay, no judging. Good. Excellent. All right, Connie, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, I'm going to start us off with a book that is out very recently, and it's called The Gray Bar Hotel by Curtis Dawkins. This is a collection of fictional short stories. But here's some of the backstory about this book. So Curtis Dawkins is a convicted murderer, and he is serving life without parole. As the book is written by a prisoner, it has been very controversial. His victim's family wished that it hadn't been published, for example. But I found it to be a very compelling read. It's an insight into a world that we often don't have any window into, the lives of prisoners at maximum security prisons. So Dawkins describes prison life through the eyes of his narrators and their cellmates. He reveals the tedium and the desperation of long-term incarceration with stories that are somehow full of humor and insight. One particular story that has really stuck with me is called A Human Number. And in it, a prisoner spends as much time as he is allowed collect calling strangers just to hear the sounds of the outside world. He doesn't so much care about who he reaches. He'll listen for the ball game in the background, or, you know, just these regular things of life that you don't have access
to. And this is nonfiction?
It's fiction.
He's
written fictional short stories, obviously drawing deeply on his experiences.
Because you often hear of the prisoners in Alcatraz, for example, hearing the boats, the pleasure boaters,
right,
and the sounds of people outside, travel into their cell windows.
Right. Any connection. So his stories are both funny and sad. He fills them with really remarkable details, like the barter system that's used with tattoos made from ballpoint ink, and the barter system with cigarettes, or the beauty of a single dandelion that someone has smuggled in from the rec yard. So it's, you know, you're going to make what you will of his characters, or indeed of Dawkins himself, and you may look up his crimes. That's up to you. I think for me, powerfully, after I finished this book, I was left with many more questions than answers. And so for me, that is a good thing.
I'm going to need you to get those answers, though. I can't handle the questions. I got to answer the questions.
To write another book.
So that's Gray Bar Hotel by Curtis Dawkins. Next up, The Shadowland.
The Shadowland is by Elizabeth Kostova. So here's kind of the setup. This is how the story starts. A young American, Alexandra Boyd, has traveled by herself on a post-college trip to Sofia, Bulgaria. She's hoping to find work for at least a couple of months. Hours after arriving, and before she has even found a place to stay, she helps an elderly woman and her son into a taxi and realizes too late that she and the couple have accidentally swapped bags. Searching the bag for any type of identification, she pulls out an ornately carved wooden box. She raises the lid and discovers that she's holding an urn filled with human ashes. This is pretty much every traveler's worst nightmare.
Whoa.
With only a vague sense of where the couple might be going, in a country not her own, surrounded by a language that she doesn't speak, Alexandra sets out to locate the family. Her journey intersects with a wonderful cast of characters as it delves into the war-torn past of Bulgaria and its current climate of political oppression. It packs it all in. It reads like a thriller. It's fabulous.
Are we going to answer the question of who's in the urn?
We are.
Okay, good.
We are.
Good, good.
Not for a while, but we will.
You could see that one being a farce or a serious drama or a mystery. Or
my stomach would just drop right out. I'd be like,
Can you imagine?
She says at one point, she says to her taxi driver, well, don't we just call the police? And he's like, the last people we call are the police.
And in certain countries, that might indeed be the case.
Right.
The Shadowland by Elizabeth Kostova is what we heard. What's up next?
I also have The Lying Game by Ruth Ware. So I've read both of Ruth Ware's two previous mysteries, which are In a Deep, Deep Wood and The Woman in Cabin 10. She gets stronger and stronger with each book, and these are psychological thrillers. The Lying Game begins when a human bone is discovered on a remote beach in a tidal estuary near the small English coastal village of Salton. The next morning, three women in and around London, Fatima, Thea, and Isabel, are summoned back to Salton by Kate, the fourth friend from their tight-knit group at boarding school. The four girls were best friends at boarding school, and they were notorious for playing the lying game, telling lies at every turn to both fellow boarders and faculty with higher and higher stakes. But their little game has consequences, and the girls were all expelled in their final year of school under mysterious circumstances that surrounded the disappearance of the school's art teacher, Ambrose, who also happens to be Kate's father. Now, all four women have come back to Salton to come to grips with the significance of the human remains that have come ashore. If it sounds dark and moody, it is.
Sounds great to me. Sounds like a Justice Files episode.
Absolutely.
Whoa, The Lying Game by Ruth Ware.
Wonderful.
All right, Connie, what's next?
One more psychological thriller. It's pretty much all I read all summer long. This one is The Marsh King's Daughter by Karen Dionne. And in this one, Helena Pelletier seemingly has a carefree and wonderful life, including a loving husband, two beautiful daughters, a great job. But one day, a breaking news announcement makes her realize that she was a fool to think she could ever leave her past behind. Helena has a secret. She's the product of an abduction. Her mother was kidnapped as a teenager and kept in a remote cabin in the marshlands of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Helena is born 2 years after her mother's abduction. She's completely isolated as a child, only knows her mother and father, the small rustic cabin they live in, and the deep woods outside her door, where her father teaches her how to fish, hunt, and track. And despite her father's odd temperament and sometimes brutal behavior, she loves him, until she learns how savage he can be. Now, years later, her father has killed two guards, escaped from prison, and disappeared into the marshland that he knows better than anyone else in the world. The police commence a manhunt, but Helena knows that they don't stand a chance. She knows that the only person with the skills to find the survivalist that the world calls the Marsh King is the only person he ever trained himself, his daughter.
Ooh, I like it. The Marsh King's Daughter by Karen Dionne. And that wraps up your list of books
right
here, Connie. And we're both, of course, speaking with Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Bat and Kill Books. You can always go to their location in Cambridge, New York, or just go to their website at batandkillbooks.com. Kate Reed?
Well, I'm going to start off today with a mystery also, but for the younger folks, and it's called Spies on Castle Rock by Justin and Gary Van Riper. And when a trio of best friends, another best friends trio, decides to team up and enter a competition that involves exploring the heights and depths of Blue Mountain Lake, we're in for a real treat. With secret codes, maps, and even scuba diving gear, the hunt is on. Who will play fair and who will break the rules? This is the latest mystery in the Adirondacks Kids series, written for 7 to 12-year-olds. And these are fun chapter books with a local flair for the North Country.
I love it. I loved hearing Blue Mountain Lake. That is great. I'm definitely going to read these children's books, by the way. I'm just telling you right now. I'm already sucked in.
There's a
in.
Whole series. You got you got lots of choices.
I'm in. I'm in, Kate. What's next?
Okay, our second book is called What's Below by Clive Gifford and Kate McLeland. And the book starts out with the questions, are your boots as your boots crunch over the snowy fields in winter, have you ever wondered what's beneath? Do you imagine what could be underneath the waves of the rolling oceans? So welcome to the world of below. In this pop-up book, we get to see what's down below a forest canopy, what's beneath the frozen ground, what's underneath the paleontologist's dig, and the ocean waves and the city streets. This book provides the opportunity for your preschooler to develop his or her observational skills and imagination.
Well, I think this is great, right? Because I remember being a kid, and the first time I realized, wait, there's things under
That's
the street?
Right.
You got
That's
it.
Right.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea is just a wonderful concept to learn.
It is a great concept book.
All right. What's Below by Clive Gifford and Kate McClellan. What's next?
And our next book is also for preschoolers, and it also has a question in its title. It's called Can an Aardvark Bark?
I don't know, but I'd like to see him try.
This is by Melissa Stewart and realistically illustrated by Steve Jenkins. And as we get introduced to all kinds of animal sounds that animals use to communicate, we find out that there are many different things that they can do to express their thoughts and feelings, just like we do. From barking of the New Zealand fur seal that alerts other seals that they're getting too close, to the giggling of the baby gorilla when its parent tickles him. We learn which animals whine, which ones bark, those that bellow, those that squeal, growl, grunt, and laugh. The interesting mix of well-known animals and those that are less familiar will hold even the adult's attention. This book is one that I predict your child will return to repeatedly.
Mm. And I imagine it's the human animals that are the whiners.
Actually, there are some others.
Is that
too.
Right?
Yeah, so we...
Can an Aardvark Bark is the name of the book,
yes,
by Melissa Stewart.
And finally, I'd like to mention a book for preschoolers called Around the World Right Now by Gina Cascon and Briani Williams Shepherd, and I hope I said their names correctly. And as the title suggests, Around the World Right Now takes us around the world looking at many activities that are occurring at any one time over all 24 different time zones.
Nice.
Ooh, well, that's so fantastic. Say the name of the book one more time.
It's Around the World Right Now.
Well, Around the World Right Now, radio shows are beginning. They're wrapping up.
There you go.
Things are moving along. And as the circle continues, I want to thank Connie Brooks and Kate Reed, who have joined us from Battenkill Books, of course, in Cambridge, New York today. Battenkillbooks.com to learn more about the store. I mean, books are just so important to all of us, aren't they?
They are, and they're timeless.
Yes.
Keep reading, everyone. Mm-hmm. Connie and Kate, so great to see you.
Thank
we look
you,
forward
David.
To your return. And we post each week's book list and all roundtable segments online at wamc.org/roundtable. Again, Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Battenkill Books, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.